A reading from the Old Testament. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah as after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading from Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, and at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Sarah was 89 years of age when the Lord sent 3 men, some say messengers or angels, to tell her and her husband Abraham she would soon be pregnant with a son. And hearing the news, Sarah laughed out loud, probably to keep from crying. For after all of those years of hoping and praying for a child, now, nearing 90, she was being told she was going to give birth and have to change all those diapers. It's a far-fetched story for sure. It's incredible. And it's comical. Some years back, I had a clergy friend who preached on this story at a senior living center. As he was telling the story of the 89-year-old Sarah starting to show, an old woman in a wheelchair suddenly piped up, interrupting him right in the middle of his sermon. "Yeah, sure, preacher," she said. "Try telling that to Medicare." So maybe some of us have a hard time believing this story. Well, Sarah did too. Still, the Bible says, a year later, Sarah did give birth to a son when she was 90 years old, and her husband Abraham was even older, 100 years of age. And on the eighth day of the young boy's life, Abraham circumcised the child and gave him the name Isaac, which means laughter. Because raising children as centenarians sounds like such a hoot. What to make of this story at this time? Well, our country turns 250 years of age in the coming days. And I've been thinking about how we seem to have grown old. And so much of our possibility seems to have grown dim. We are no longer the bright beacon of freedom we once were for so many. Now the better angels of our nature seem to have all vanished like the angels in the story. Now we seem to be threatened by the very worst of our demons. Lady Liberty is in danger of being replaced by dastardly kleptocracy. And freedom and justice for all are being threatened by gross unaccountability for some and oppression for the rest. And we wonder this morning, is it too late? Last week, the people in the upper room laughed at Jesus when he said the little girl was only asleep and not dead. This week, we are tempted to laugh too when told by the better angels that this 250-year-old country is not good as dead, but could still, even today, have a new birth of freedom as a nation. Right here on the eve of her semi-quincentennial celebration. So then maybe this fantastic, incredible story today does have something important to say for just such a time as this. So too, do I think, does Dr. Opal Lee. Most of the folks from Fort Worth know Miss Opal is the quote-unquote grandmother of Juneteenth. On June 19th, 1939, when Miss Opal was a young black girl, her home was attacked by a racist white mob just blocks here from our church. Still yet, growing up, having experienced that deep, deep trauma, she did not give way to bitterness or to hatred or to despair. She turned all of that hatred she had encountered into love dedicating herself to teaching the way of love to our children in this community as a school teacher. And after she retired, Miss Opal marched and advocated tirelessly for Juneteenth, June 19th, to become a federal holiday. When President Joe Biden signed the bill making it so in 2021, she was standing right at his side in the Oval Office at the Resolute desk. She was 94. And now, 5 years later, she's 99. Much, as we know, has changed in our country over these last 5 years. Still, though, Miss Opal gave an interview with the Dallas Morning News earlier this month, the headline of which said these words: "Grandmother of Juneteenth, Opal Lee, is not giving up on America." She's 99 years of age, and she's not giving up on America. She's not giving up on love, and she's not giving up on hope. And she's not giving up her faith, for faith, hope, and love remain for Miss Opal. They must also remain for us. For as Brian Stevenson of the Equal Justice Initiative says, we hold our hope because hopelessness is the enemy of justice. Hopelessness makes us think nothing can be done to change things. But something can always be done. And it will. It must be. I know it is not too late. We are in the season of Pentecost. At Pentecost, the people were told that old men were to dream dreams. Today is an old man and old woman dreaming kind of story. And an old man and old woman dreaming kind of time. The old men and the old women, even in our church, can still dream dreams. I'm thinking this morning of what demographers call the silver tsunami. Have you heard of it? It's about the boomers all retiring. And many of them I know. Some sitting this morning in this very sanctuary are retiring not only out of the workplace, but also into volunteering and into activism. You were the ones who protested Vietnam. You remember Watergate. You believe in civil and human rights and welcoming the stranger and clothing the naked and being kind to the neighbors, and you don't want this country to be lost to coldness and cruelty and kleptocracy. Like Miss Opal, you aren't quite ready to give up on America. So you are volunteering and you are organizing, and some of you are even agitating at an age when you too once thought you would already be as good as dead. But you are not dead. You are alive. And you are living. And something powerful with our boomers is being birthed yet again here in America. You are still giving birth to this next generation of our nation. God bless you. So then 50 is the new 40. That means I'm still in my 30s. And 60 is the new 50. And 70 is the new 60. And 80 is when Moses told Pharaoh to let his people go. And 90 was when Sarah and her baby and Miss Opal had her baby, and Miss Opal laced up those little tinny shoes of hers and set out all across our country to proclaim Juneteenth as a day of freedom for all people. It is a silver tsunami, and it is not too late for some of you to make some waves. On the occasion of Miss Opal's 97th birthday, I had the honor of saying a prayer at the groundbreaking of her new home, built in the very neighborhood and on the very plot of ground where she and her family had been attacked and driven off and out of 84 years earlier. Standing there on that newly sacred and hallowed ground, she gave a famous speech in which she said, "Listen up, young people. And if you're younger than 97 years of age, you are young to me." So then she was talking to all of us. And what she told us was that we still had some hard work to do, no matter our age. To improve our schools, and to assure our freedoms, and to clean up our earth, and to fight for our children's future, and to see that love and not hate prevail. In an America, we must never, ever, ever give up on. Make yourself a committee of one, she said. For one plus God is always a majority. St. Paul said, "It was beyond all hope when in hope Abraham believed God, when God told him he would become a father, not only to one child, but to a whole nation that would then bless all of the other nations of the earth. And in spite of his late, late age, the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. All he had to do was believe. Sarah still had to give birth. That seems kind of unfair. But hey, that's another sermon. The righteous live by faith. And those who believe that things can be made right live by faith. And we live by hope. And we live in love. And we never give up believing that in the end, God's love wins. I said earlier that when Abraham gave his boy the name Isaac, it meant laughter. And that's true, though the literal meaning is actually future in its tense. Isaac literally means he will laugh. So there's something optimistic and hopeful about the future in this story. Abraham knows the plans God has for this child, plans for hope and plans for a future with joy. Would that we could all proclaim such a blessing over this next generation of our nation also. Why can't we? We must. Now listen up, young people. Faith, hope, and love remain. And the greatest of these is love with laughter. May we never give up on believing in such a thing as this. And may we do whatever is within our power to birth and to bless it. No matter how young or old we are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one true God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people say, Amen.